There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the deal we got? I mean, the deal we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a bold counsel. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, too bad.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
Welcome back to Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in for Sean Sullivan today. The last day I'm filling in. Sean should be back next week, I believe. It has been great filling in for him for Mobile. Usually you can hear me in Huntsville on WVNN. That's right, News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN. I do the Yaffe program 9 to 11 AM. By the way, Yaffe is my last name, spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E. You want to find out more about me? Of course, you can on Twitter at Michael Yaffe or like the Yaffe Facebook page as well. My next guest here is State Representative Andrew Sorrell. He's also running for state auditor. Andrew, thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Hey, Yaffe. Thank you for having me on, as always.
So, we're going to get into some Alabama politics and your race for state auditor and all that. But I got to tell you, maybe you can help me out here real quick. Because in the last half hour, I admitted I have not been vaccinated yet. And some people were trying to convince me to get vaccinated, which is fine. I'm still thinking about it. But they're saying because if you're not, you could spread it to the rest of the community. And I try to make the point, well, if they're vaccinated, what do they care? And they're telling me, well, if they're vaccinated, they could still catch COVID and get sick from it. But when I look at the stats today, even those with breakthrough infections, which that number is pretty small after they've been vaccinated, even those with breakthrough infections, they're not getting sick or dying, at least from what the numbers show. So I don't know why I can't seem to make this point. Can you make this point better than I can? Can you help me out here?
Well, I don't know. I can certainly try, but I think the problem is that the goalposts keep getting moved. So, you know, first the government says, well, if you get the vaccine, then you're safe. And then it's, well, if you get the vaccine, then you really still ought to wear a mask. And, you know, well, if you get the vaccine now, well, now all of your friends and neighbors have to get the vaccine too, or you could still catch it. And it's like, wait a minute, what? I mean, does the vaccine work or not? And I think that's people's frustration with it is, if we're going to have to do all the same things after the vaccine that we had to do before the vaccine, then why should I get it? And I think that's contributing to the low vaccination rate in Alabama.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, exactly. Does the vaccine work or not? If it works, then what do they care if I'm vaccinated or not? Because they can't catch it from me. Oh, well, there's breakthrough infections. Well, but the stats are showing that those breakthrough infections are not causing serious illness or death. And breakthrough infections, even that number is very small. So I just don't get it. But I do think I've said all week that the biggest issue, in my opinion, and why numbers are lower in certain areas is because young people just don't have the urgency to do it because their chances of dying from it are pretty low.
Well, the thing is, you know, the biggest issue to me is medical freedom. So if you want to get the vaccine, great, go get the vaccine. We should support that as Americans. We should support your right to choose to get the vaccine. We should equally support your right to choose not to get the vaccine. And especially if you're young, if you don't have pre-existing conditions, or if you don't trust vaccines, whatever the case, I'm not an anti-vax person myself, but I support medical freedom. I support people making the best choice for themselves and their families based on their own research. We don't need a top-down approach. We don't need a government mandate. Biden is literally mandating that federal government employees get the coronavirus vaccine. Americans should be outraged at this.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think it's interesting, you guys in the legislature, you are really ahead of the curve on some of this because I remember when talk of vaccine passports still came up. It was starting to come up. And some Democrats were saying, why are Republicans even doing this? This isn't even an issue. They made this issue up. Well, it seems like you guys were being proactive because now it really is an issue. And you guys passed a law banning, you know, having to require proof of vaccination at a place of business or even in state government.
You know, it's so funny with the Democrats. They never say that we're doing something in an appropriate time. We're always either too early or too late. So with the vaccine passport, they're saying, oh, you're too early. I mean, this isn't even an issue, guys. Why are we spending valuable time talking about this? Well, here we are a few months later, and of course, it's become a big issue. Same thing with critical race theory. I've got a critical race theory post up on my Facebook page right now, my state auditor page, Andrew Sorrell for state auditor. It's got almost 1,000 likes. I mean, that's how popular this post is. But the number one objection I'm getting from Democrats is, Andrew, this isn't really even happening in Alabama. We don't need to worry about this. I'm like, no, it is happening. It's going to happen. It's going to come to Alabama unless we prevent it. But if we wait too long and then we're passing a bill, then the Democrats say, oh, well, the Republican legislature failed to act. We knew this was an important issue, and they didn't act. So to the Democrats, you never act at the right time. You're always either too early or too late.
Yeah, that's a good point. Do you think there's a pretty good chance that a critical race theory bill banning it will be passed in the next session?
Well, I do. There's three different bills that are introduced. I know you had Danny Crawford on your Huntsville program the other day. I heard that. I know Chris Pringle down in the area you're on the show now, Mobile, has a bill. I know that Ed Oliver has a bill. I've read two of them, HB 8 and HB 9, I've read. And I'm very supportive of what they're trying to do. My only complaint is that they didn't ask me to co-sponsor it before they dropped the bill. But other than that, the bills are very, very good. And I don't think we should wait till next year, Yaffe. I'm calling on Facebook. I may be the only legislator calling for this right now. I think we need to address this in a special session of the legislature because that's all I'm hearing about. Look, I'm running for state auditor. All right, this isn't even really particularly a state auditor issue. That's all people want to talk about is what are you doing to stop critical race theory? So I said, you know what? I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to call on the governor to include critical race theory in the call of the next special session we have, whether it's for prisons, whether it's for redistricting. Go ahead, let's knock out critical race theory this fall because people want it dealt with yesterday.
And why do you think that is? I mean, it's not being taught, at least most places in Alabama, at least not under the banner of critical race theory. I mean, that is a point Democrats bring up, and it's true, it's not being taught, but why do you think there is such an urgency to pass a bill then?
I think it's because of how dangerous critical race theory actually is, and if it ever gets a foothold in Alabama, we may never be able to get rid of it. And, you know, we say it's not being taught in Alabama. For the most part, I agree with that. But, you know, Mountain Brook, ask the Mountain Brook parents. I think there were 600 Mountain Brook parents who went to a school board meeting to protest what they thought was critical race theory about to be taught. And I spoke to one of those parents when I was campaigning in Birmingham. He said, hey, I'm one of those people that were at that meeting. So it's very important to people. But whether we understand it or not, our job as representatives is to be responsive to the needs and the wants of the people in our district. And I can tell you, the overwhelming majority of the people that I represent want this dealt with, and they want it dealt with immediately.
Yeah, very interesting. Speaking with State Representative Andrew Sorrell, he's also running for state auditor. Talk about your race for state auditor. Why did you decide to, instead of running again for the House, you're running for state auditor?
So 2 years ago, there was a bill introduced in the legislature that would eliminate the state auditor's position. And I was a freshman legislator my first year. And I had to consider this bill. I didn't know a whole lot about the state auditor's position, and it forced me to kind of go study up on it and learn. And after studying it, I came to the realization that, no, this is the one position we don't need to get rid of in government. It's kind of a watchdog on all of the rest of government. And being a watchdog, I think, really fits my political personality. So this year, I carried some legislation dealing with the state auditor's office because a lot of the duties and responsibilities have been stripped away over the years. You know, people say, you know, does the auditor do financial audits? Well, no, they don't. That's not done by the auditor anymore, and it should be, in my opinion. What's done by the auditor is the property audit, which, granted, are still very important. $1.7 billion worth of taxpayer property spread out over 176 different state agencies. We lose 1% of it a year. I say lose. It's probably a lot of it's being stolen. I've looked at the loss reports. You know, employee fired did not return $1,200 laptop. Well, I don't call that a loss. I call that a theft. We need to go get the taxpayers' property back from that person. So I just became more and more interested in the auditor's office the more I learned about it. And, of course, it's open seat this year with Jim Ziegler from down in the Baldwin County area, not able to run again. He's termed out. And I decided I was going to throw my hat in the ring for it, and I've really been enjoying being on the campaign trail these last 5.5 weeks.
All right. Yeah, sounds good. By the way, it makes me happy. Earlier, you said you had listened to me do an interview on the show. I'm glad you're a fan of my show in Huntsville. I'm always glad. Well, you never know when you're on this side.
I listened to you in Huntsville, and then I was down in Orange Beach yesterday, and I was listening to you filling in. And I'm in Hartsville right now, back in North Alabama, and I'm headed back to Fairhope this afternoon. So, yeah, I listen to talk radio wherever I am, and I'm happy to listen to you both in Huntsville and in Mobile.
Thanks, my friend. You know, I was just reading today, another issue that's coming up in the legislature is this prison issue. And I keep seeing this idea that we need to use the COVID relief money to fund either building new prisons or remodeling the current prisons. Is that actually going to happen? And what do you think about it?
I don't know if it's going to happen. Now, I'll say, I think the Corona money, my preference would be that it go to the individuals and the small businesses who are impacted by Corona. You know, the state government shut down the majority of small businesses in this state, which I was opposed to. I never thought that was a fair thing to do. I never thought it was a constitutional thing to do. And I think that we put a lot of small businesses out of business that'll never come back. So my preference would be to see those people get the COVID relief money. If we're not going to do that, though, then would it be wrong to use the money to build prisons? Well, I don't like that solution, but I like that better than borrowing the money or leasing the prisons from private companies. And at the end of 30 years and $3 billion, we still don't own the prisons. So it's not my preferred solution. It's not my preferred use for the money, but it does solve an immediate problem. That is, we need, you know, three or four new prisons and we don't have any money to pay for them.
State Representative Andrew Sorrell running for state auditor. Also, any final thoughts for the audience that you wanted to get out there?
Well, just I'm very excited about the state auditor's campaign. I feel like we have a lot of momentum. I'm not going to spill the beans on my fundraising, but we had a really, really good month of fundraising, very strong. I think I had close to 70 people get to my campaign this month and raised a lot of money. I think it's going to surprise a lot of people when the report comes out next week. And I'm enjoying getting around the state, learning about new places like Saraland. I stayed in Saraland the other night. And just learning about, I was in a place called Bug Tussle. Have you ever heard of Bug Tussle? It's in Coleman County last night, speaking to 50 people. And there are so many areas in Alabama that I've never been to, and I'm just really enjoying getting to go and meet all those people.
What do you call Bug Tussle?
Bug Tussle. Yes, two different words.
Oh, nice. All right. Giving them a little bit of a shout out. Bug Tussle. All right. State Representative Andrew Sorrell, thank you so much for coming on the show. I know I'll talk to you again in the future.
Really appreciate you having me on. Encourage your audience to go to andrewsorrell.com to read more about me. S-O-R-R-E-L-L is how you spell that. Or they can find me on Facebook, Andrew Sorrell for State Auditor.
All right. Thank you so much. So if you want to call in or text, you can. 251-343-0106. Just got a text. I think this person texts a bunch, but so the reason for this unreal critical race theory is the start conversation. You get racist people to support Republicans. Oh, dear Lord. Oh, dear Lord. I just don't know what to do today with these people. So when we get back, I want to talk a little bit about what is really driving a lot of the rhetoric surrounding the vaccines. Because the more and more I watch media coverage, the more and more I hear from Democrats, the more and more I hear from certain government leaders, I am not even convinced that they really want more people to get vaccinated. Frankly, I mean, maybe I want to believe they have the best intentions, but if you really want more people to get vaccinated, what are you doing? Because the things they're doing are going to have the opposite reaction. The things that they are putting out there constantly is going to have the opposite reaction in terms of people are going to be less likely to get vaccinated. This shame and blame game, it's not going to work. The only reason why vaccine numbers are going up right now is because the case numbers are going up. The hospitalizations are going up. That's why. That's what's going to encourage people. The facts. But there's a reason why they're doing this, and I'll tell you when we get back. You're listening to Yaffe filling in for Sean, FM Talk 106.5.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
So what is this panic in the media and by Democrats? What is it really all about? I mean, some of them, yes, they want things to get back to normal. They want more people to get vaccinated. But, man, what some of them are doing, it's going to have the opposite. Yeah, it's going to have the opposite result. There's a word I was looking for. Result. You're listening to Yaffe, filling in for Sean Sullivan on Midday Mobile. Really glad to be here. I want to give you some examples of what I'm talking about here. I'm going to play some examples of some government leaders that they act like they're trying to get people to get vaccinated. But I'm like, is this really going to work? Is this really helping get more people vaccinated? Dalton, real quick, can you play the Bill de Blasio cut I sent you? This is the mayor of New York talking about vaccines. Here he is.
The anti-vaxxers are criminal at this point. What they are doing to this country is undermining our future. They really are. They're taking away the future of this country.
Oh, they're criminals. I mean, he won't secure the border. He doesn't want to secure the border. He doesn't want to enforce laws in his own city. But yeah, the unvaccinated, they're criminals. And then we'll give you another example. Joe Biden, President Joe Biden this week. Here's what he said about unvaccinated people.
Will you require all federal employees to get vaccinated?
That's under consideration right now, but if you're not vaccinated, you're not nearly as smart as I thought you were.
Oh, those stupid unvaccinated people. I mean, but unfortunately, the governor of this state did the same thing. She's contributing to this. Go ahead and play Governor Kay Ivey here, Dalton.
Governor, you talk about, you know, the vaccine saving lives, but Alabama still is last in the country when it comes to vaccination rates. Besides, you know, this emotional plea you just gave us, what is it going to take to get people to get shots in arms?
I don't know. You tell me. Folks supposed to have common sense. But it's time to start blaming the unvaccinated folks, not the regular folks. It's the unvaccinated folks that are letting us down.
But as a leader of the state, don't you think it's your responsibility to try and help get this situation under control?
I've done all I know how to do. I can encourage you to do something, but I can't make you take care of yourself.
The shame is, if anyone's listening that's unvaccinated, anything from our government leaders going to convince you to get vaccinated? So what's this really all about? Go ahead, Dalton, play Greg Gutfeld. This is Greg Gutfeld from Fox News yesterday. I thought he made the best point on this. He's exactly right. This is really what it's all about. Go on, play it. Here it is.
But they don't want to help. They don't really want to help vaccine holdouts. They just enjoy the conflict too much. It makes perfect sense, though, if you think about it, because all good theater starts with conflict. And that's just what TV news has become, good theater. So how can intimidating people and insulting them persuade anyone? Didn't the Democrats always call that bullying? Yeah, you can't morally impugn shoplifters, looters, violent drug addicts who assault cops, transients or junkies pooping on your porch. That would be so insensitive and yet so reasonable. But those rubes scared of a novel vaccine, they have it coming. They're the criminals. Fact is, these media bullies just want to impugn the people who've caused them emotional turmoil over the past 4 years. This sort of turd-swirling virtue signaling is actually therapy for them. They should really call Dr. Drew. As Matt Taibbi points out, it's a brand new kind of snobism, allowing elites to look down at the unschooled underclass, stressing the affluence of their voters as an indication of their moral superiority. Listening to them, though, is as harmful as French kissing a cave-dwelling bat in Wuhan. I can't wait to see what they do next and watch it blow up in their unmasked faces.
This is all about creating an us versus them mentality. And having a vaccine mandate where you need proof of vaccination, all you're doing is documenting the us versus them mentality where it's like, oh, you don't have a vaccine passport. You didn't give it. You're one of them. Stupid. Of course, a lot of it is political as well, trying to win the midterms because Democrats know it helped them in the last election. They think it will help them again. One more segment to go of me. Really glad to be here. We'll be back in a moment on Midday Mobile. This is Yaffe filling in.
You're listening to Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5. Call Sean now at 343-0106.
Yes, welcome back to Midday Mobile on FM Talk 106.5. I'm filling in for Sean Sullivan This is Yaffe, final segment of me filling in. But if you just heard me for the first time today, or if you've been hearing me all week and you just haven't followed me on Twitter yet, you should. Find out more about me. I'm posting stuff all the time. I post my podcast up there as well. So follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Yaffe is my last name, spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E, at Michael Yaffe, or like the Yaffe Facebook page. So there was an opinion piece in Politico this week by Rich Lowry of the National Review as well, as who I like. The title was, "The Biden Era Has Surprisingly Little of Joe Biden in It." Says the president's low-key media strategy is working to his advantage, while the country debates culture war issues largely outside his control, but that might not last. And he talks about here, I don't want to read the whole thing, but he says that Teddy Roosevelt was, he kind of set the precedent where the president should be the center of attention. And then he's making a good point that, Biden really doesn't get ratings at a CNN town hall. Didn't get a lot of ratings last week. He doesn't do a lot of events. Isn't in the public spotlight nearly as much as like Trump or past presidents. And I got to tell you, he says here, Biden's presidency is in this sense practically pre-modern, almost hearkening back to the pre-mass media days when presidents were neither seen nor heard. He says, of course, this is in part a deliberate strategic choice by the White House, playing on the contrast with Trump and limiting Biden's exposure to the media to avoid distractions and gaffes. Being a notably low-voltage political figure worked for Biden in his comeback primary campaign and in the 2020 general election, so why not as president? And says, as a result, Biden strangely doesn't feel like the main event of the Biden years. And I got to tell you, there's a part of me that loves this. Because I do feel like our country obsesses over the president and the presidency a little bit too much. And that was never the purpose of that office. The job of the president is to be the head of the executive branch and the commander in chief of the military. That's the job. Yet there are too many today that feel like, we even call him the leader of the free world, but they feel like he should be the leader of everything. If something happens, even if it doesn't involve the presidency or the powers of the presidency, the president is supposed to comment on it because he's our dear leader and we should know everything. And I always get annoyed by this. It's just too much pomp and circumstance. Thomas Jefferson, when he first became president, he hated all the pomp and circumstance that seemed to surround George Washington, John Adams, and purposely got rid of some of that because he didn't feel like that was the job of the president. He's not a monarch. And yet we seem to do things a lot around a presidency where it seems more monarchical. But I have to say, so there's a part of me that's like, okay, Joe Biden doing this, it seems like a good thing. The presidency not as prominent, the president not as prominent. The problem with this is just because Joe Biden himself isn't as prominent doesn't mean the executive branch isn't gaining more and more power for itself. Unfortunately, Joe Biden is just delegating to his staff and delegating to the bureaucracy. See, what I really want isn't just a president to be less prominent and less powerful. What I would really like is a president to give more power back to the states, to Congress, to the states, to the local government, and to the people. We're supposed to be a free society where we're not dependent on the federal government for anything, especially not dependent on the presidency for anything, and really not supposed to be dependent on government as much as we are in general. Your local church should have much more of an effect on your life than what's going on in the federal government, except nowadays it doesn't really seem like that, does it? Now, on a government level, your mayor, you should be able to talk to your mayor and get more things done for your community than talking to your congressman, senator, or the president. But it doesn't seem like that today, does it? But even beyond that, your family, your local community, neighborhoods, that should have more of an effect on your life. That's the way it was supposed to be. It promotes responsibility in that way. It promotes responsibility of our local leaders, but your own responsibility in your own life. when you're more in charge on a community level and you're more in charge of your own life. Yet we're getting rid of responsibility and we expect the federal government to be involved. And what's happening is the executive branch, even if it's by not being there, it's gaining more and more power for itself, taking it from Congress, taking it from the people, the technocrats, once again, getting more power for themselves. The so-called experts, the head of the bureaucracy, they know better than you. So it gets to the point where, like, states in California, it's impossible to build a home. Even if you want to build your own solar panel in your backyard, it's almost impossible to do it in California because of all the bureaucracy and red tape that's involved on the state level, but in the national level. This is not how it's supposed to be. This is why I kind of get annoyed at State of the Union addresses. It's too much. We require a president to be not only commander-in-chief, not only the head of the executive branch, but really the head of Congress and really our spiritual leader, the father of the country. You know, there's reasons they called George Washington that, but we kind of expect that of every president now. And it's the media's fault and so much, but it's not the way it should be. But the main reason I bring this up is don't be fooled. Don't be fooled into believing that just because Joe Biden isn't out there as much, that somehow we're getting more power back from the president, from the executive branch, because we're not. In fact, he has done so many executive orders to start off with. All he's doing is delegating to the bureaucracy, and the bureaucracy isn't elected at all. And they seem to never go away. This is how the deep state grows and creates more problems for us. So in some ways, Congress, local governments, state governments gave up power to the federal government. Congress gave up power to the executive branch of the presidency. But of course, now the president is giving up power to the unelected bureaucracy, the technocrats. And we wonder why it's so hard to get anything real done in this country. People get annoyed at congressional gridlock, by the way. Oh, too much gridlock in D.C. these days. I love gridlock. The less they do in government, the less time they're spending taking away my liberty and my money. The fact is, if we wanted to get something done, we should do it in our own personal lives, in our individual lives. Now, we still have a chance to do that more here than a lot of other countries in the world, but it's growing less and less as the government gets more and more and more. And you notice when it comes to the vaccine mandates, you know what one reason why they think they're allowed to do vaccine mandates? They think they're allowed to do it because so much of the government pays for so much of our health care in this country. So many people in this country are relying on government health care in some way, form, or another. And they say, well, if you're getting government health care, you should be forced to get a vaccine by the government. Now, people like me have been warning you about that for years. As soon as they give you something, they're also getting more control over your personal life. And now what's happening? And they're going to continue to do more of this. And yet, we're going to freely give it away because we want to get the free stuff. When instead, we should be focused more on the local level, the community level. So, Joe Biden, not getting as much attention. It is done on purpose, trying to make him more look like a moderate. Have people behind the scenes do a radical agenda. The Democrats in Congress do a radical agenda. The bureaucracy grow and grow and grow. The regulations grow and grow and grow. But don't be fooled, because that's happening. Just because he's not out there as much doesn't mean that he is giving up power. You know, giving power back to the people. That's just not, it's not happening, unfortunately. I appreciate you listening to me this week. If you want to find out more about me, Yaffe, filling in for Sean this week, you can go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Michael Yaffe. Yaffe spelled Y-A-F-F-E-E. You can like the Yaffe Facebook page as well. And you can always listen to the podcast, me in Huntsville. I tend to be a big picture guy. By the way, if you haven't noticed, you know, I like to talk about the big picture issues. I like to get to the core of the issues. I try to do that with the vaccine, and I try to be honest about where I am on this, completely open with you. Not just trying to push the agenda, but trying to tell you where I am in my personal life when it comes to this. So you can always kind of count on that from me. You can always get that from me. And so, you know, I'll let you know on social media if I decide to get the vaccine this week. If I do, I really want to get, like I said, I really want to get the J&J vaccine. It's a one and done. Get it over with. I'm not a big fan. Not really a big fan of shots. Shots, anyway. So, yeah. I appreciate you. I just heard the music. Thanks to Dalton. Thanks to Leanna for producing for me today as well. You are listening to Midday Mobile. Thank you so much. Hopefully you'll let me fill in again in the future. And I'll catch you guys next time. Thank you so much.